Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. I'm Matt Katz, in for Tanzina Vega. Today, the House of Representatives is expected to pass a $1.9 trillion stimulus package, marking the one-year anniversary of the start of the coronavirus pandemic. The American Rescue Plan, which passed the Senate over the weekend along strictly partisan lines, is President Biden's first significant legislative initiative. In an attempt to fight the economic downturn caused by the pandemic, the bill will inject the economy with an unprecedented amount of federal aid that targets families in need of assistance. With me now is economics correspondent for The Washington Post, Heather Long. Heather, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Hi, good to be back.
Heather, talk to me about the most significant pieces of this $1.9 trillion aid package.
Well, certainly everyone, many people in America are buzzing about another round of these $1,400 checks coming out. Those could go out within a matter of days of this package being signed by the president. So we're expecting 150 million households to get the checks this time. That's down a little bit from the 168 million households that received the December package and the one last spring. But there's so much attention on the checks, people forget that there's a lot of other things in this bill. It extends unemployment insurance through Labor Day with an extra $300 a week. And a lot of people are talking about it as a big anti-poverty move. And the reason they say that isn't because of the checks, but because of about $200 billion in new tax credits that are specifically directed towards lower income families. And just to say briefly, that's the child tax credit, the earned income tax credit, the child care, the child and dependent care tax credit. When you put all those together, that is another big boost to families. The other two biggies in this bill are $350 billion to states and cities. We did not see anything like that in prior bills. And of course, more money for vaccine distribution.
You've reported some startling numbers related to what this means for people in poverty. The bill would take nearly 13 million Americans out of poverty, reduces the number of children living in poverty by 40%. My first thought in reading this was the pandemic is ironically really expanding the social safety net in a way we haven't seen in a generation, maybe, isn't it?
It is. And what we know is when you look at who's been hurt the most by this pandemic, it's basically families who were earning $14 an hour or less. And they've just been decimated. Sitting here in March of 2021, it's still a Great Depression-like scenario for people who earn $14 or less, whereas people who earn $20 or more have actually seen their jobs increase in the past year, which is mind-boggling to think about.
Wow. Wow. And the reason why there's such a dent in poverty that this bill is expected to make, is it because of the child tax credit? Is that the major reason for that?
It's really a combination. It's a very comprehensive package. So many people email me and they say, how can you say $1,400 the check is going to lift somebody out of poverty? And I say, you're right, it's not. But it's not just the $1,400 check. On top of that is this expanded child tax credit that will give $3,000 this year to people for every child of the age 16 to 17, and it'll give $3,600 for every child under six. And also now the expanded child care credit. So many people obviously who are trying to get back to work or search for jobs, they need to put their child in some sort of child care, particularly young kids. And now that is going up to $4,000 that you can get back from the government for that.
Wow. Heather, I want to just get back to one thing you mentioned earlier about the partisan split on this bill. Not a single Republican in the Senate voted in favor of it. Why did Senate Republicans not get behind the pandemic aid package, even when they supported the last few rounds of federal relief?
Well, some of it is politics, but the arguments they make publicly are that it's too big. The final price tag is the $1.9 trillion. And they also argue that a lot of this aid is not directly tied to COVID. So they would have supported things like more unemployment insurance and more money for vaccines. But there was a lot of pushback about all the money going to state and local. And I had to say it, but there was a lot of pushback about the anti-poverty programs. Not that Republicans didn't think that that's a valid thing to do, but they were questioning why it's an emergency relief bill. Democrats obviously said, look, you tried to play the same game in 2009 coming out of the Great Recession. We made the bill smaller. And as Schumer said yesterday, we cut back on the stimulus and it resulted in five more years of recession. So Democrats were not having any buying any of this, let's cut the bill down argument.
Although they did cut out of the bill a $15 federal minimum wage mandate, and that's something that 59% of Americans support. Is this something, the minimum wage, that could come back later on in the Biden administration? Are Democrats going to keep pushing this?
Well, they're certainly indicating they're going to try. I think the hardest debate for the White House is there's fairly widespread support to raise the federal minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to something like $11 or $12 an hour. They could probably get bipartisan support and even business support for that. So the question is, do they try to go to $15 and can they actually do that? That's where you see a lot of pushback, is the $15 number is pretty high in certain parts of the country, West Virginia, and places like Mississippi. So that's where the pushback comes. I think it's going to be a really hard choice for Biden.
So the expanded child tax credit is only expected to last the year, and families can use it to pay rent, buy groceries, pay for babysitters. But what could taking away this benefit after just 1 year mean for those families? Are members of the Democratic Party hoping that the expanded child tax credit will last beyond this year? Is that something that's possible?
You've hit on one of the biggest problems, if you will, with this bill, and that is, yes, it's arguably the biggest anti-poverty action from the government in decades, but it only lasts, most of the aid only lasts for 2021, for 1 year. And so sitting here a year from now in 2022, a lot of families are suddenly going to feel like they are taking a hit on their income, that suddenly their income is $3,000 to $4,000 or $5,000 less. There is certainly a lot of hope among Democratic leaders in the White House that a number of these programs can be expanded and made permanent, particularly that child tax credit and the expanded earned income tax credit and some of the health care subsidies in this bill. But that's not guaranteed.
Before I let you go, Heather, we know that Black and Hispanic families have borne the brunt of the coronavirus and then the resulting economic downturn. What does this pandemic aid mean for Black and Hispanic families specifically? Are you able to drill down on that?
Obviously, Black and Hispanic families have seen some of the slowest rebound in jobs, particularly Black women, even sitting here in March of 2021 when some of the economy has recovered. Because of the focus on the bottom 40% of Americans, the Black and Hispanic families would get a bigger and in some ways would get a bigger boost from this bill. So when we talk about 13 million Americans being lifted above the poverty line, doesn't mean that they're going to be having, you know, everything will be fine, but they would be above the poverty line. It would really, really boost a lot of Black and Hispanic families above that poverty line.
Heather Long is an economics correspondent for The Washington Post. Thanks, Heather.
Thanks, Matt.